91.3 KXCI Tucson. Real people, real radio. Hello, Tucson. You're looking good today. And thank you for joining us here at 91.3 KXCI, our community radio. This is Kathy Harris with my co-host, Aspen Green, and we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. And you can hear more of our programs by going to kxci.org and looking on our Broad Perspectives Radio page. Well, today we have another dynamic Tucson woman who serves our community in kind of a unique way. Angela Salmon is the owner of Desert Aloha, providing services to seniors. And with Angela is one of her volunteers, Renee Poirier. Aspen, tell our audience about these wonderful women and their organization.
You never know who you're going to meet on a trail up in Mount Lemmon. That's how I met Angela a couple of weeks ago. And look, now we have this great show, so I'm very excited. So Angela is the owner and trip leader of Desert Aloha, a service providing day trips for seniors to local places of interests and events, with an emphasis on serving people with early to middle stages of Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. She has been working with seniors since 2010, having been the former program director of the Handmaker Adventure Bus, as well as the activity director at a local nonprofit senior living community. Renee Poirier has been a board-certified music therapist since 2011, following a long career in the insurance industry. She has focused her practice on working with seniors, and especially those with dementia. Renee began doing music therapy with Adventure Bus in 2012 and has continued this service with Desert Aloha. In addition, Renee has been a volunteer for outings with the Adventure Bus and Desert Aloha. And welcome to our show, both of you ladies.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
It's wonderful to be able to talk to you. Angela, you are a certified CARES dementia specialist. Can you tell us what's involved in becoming certified as a CARES dementia specialist?
To become a dementia specialist, you have to do an online training, a 40-hour course, but really it was more like 70 hours. There's 40 modules, and you learn about people with dementia and all the special needs and how to give compassionate care. So you're watching a lot of videos. You have to pass exams. You have to score 90% or greater, and then you are given a CDS credentialing worldwide. And everyone who meets the requirement becomes a dementia specialist, and they're listed on the CDS International Registry.
What were you doing before you got this certification?
I started working at the local nonprofit nursing home here in town, Handmaker. And I started working there in 2010. And I had the opportunity to launch and facilitate a program called the Adventure Bus for 12 and a half years. Through Handmaker, I received lots of training, and on my own, I decided that I wanted to become a dementia specialist, even though I had the experience and the training to work with people with dementia. I wanted to be certified.
I know you were blessed to be able to take care of your maternal grandmother who suffered from dementia. Is that how you got interested in working with seniors with dementia? And can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Actually, I'd been working with seniors with dementia long before my grandmother started showing signs of memory loss. My grandmother started showing signs of memory loss just a few years ago, and I had been running the dementia program since 2011. So I used all the things that I had learned and experienced working with people with dementia in Adventure Bus, and I was applying that with my care with my grandmother. She had fallen in December and needed 24-hour care. And she had a mid to late stage dementia. I took her into my home and cared for her for 4 months, and she passed away in April.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So thank you. Some things are meant to be. I never thought that I would be in the field of working with seniors, especially seniors with dementia, but it happened that this was my heart song and my calling, and I was able to help a family member with that.
Yeah, that's really very special. I mean, how blessed were you both to have each other during that time? So where did you get the name Desert Aloha? I love it. It's like half Hawaii, half Tucson.
Well, I'll tell you, 15 years ago, I moved back to Tucson. I had been living on Kauai with
Oh,
my,
okay.
and I love the aloha spirit. So aloha means love, compassion. People use it to greet one another, but I love the aloha spirit. It just runs through the whole culture. And when I came back to Tucson, I thought about launching my own business. I thought, you know what? We can have the aloha spirit right here in Tucson. And I wanted to portray that in my work that I do with my seniors. And that's how I got Desert Aloha.
I love that name. What are the benefits you see in doing outings with persons with Alzheimer's or dementia? Like, how does it help them? Is it the cognitive stimulation, mood enhancement? What are the things that you notice that it helps?
Like all of us, we like to have one-on-one interactions. We like to be in small groups. We like to be able to be heard. We like to be able to speak and be heard and have meaningful interaction. And I think these outings, and I have a small group, it's only 4 to 7 people, and we're socializing. We're getting up and moving our bodies. We're learning. We're continually learning. We're laughing. We're sharing stories. We're breaking bread together. At the end of the day, maybe not everybody will remember all the details of the day, but they know that they feel good, and their caregivers know that they feel good.
So, what does it take to put together these day trips with these folks? What things do you have to consider because you have dementia patients?
The wonderful thing is that we live in an amazing city that has so many different natural places to go to. Like Sabino Canyon, Saguaro National Monument East, Tohono O'Toole, the botanical gardens. And we have lots of wonderful museums and science centers and hands-on craft places like the Tucson Clay Co-op or Color Me Mine or Tandy Leather. So I put together a program every month. So I schedule these and book our groups for tours or for hands-on workshops and put it in a flyer and see if anybody will sign up for them.
Okay. You know, when I went on the Desert Aloha website, the first photo that came up was Liz and Pete, who are friends of mine, and they were on Mount Lemmon. So I see you had some music as one of the day trips. And I know that research has shown music therapy is beneficial for living with conditions like dementia and Alzheimer's disease. You see it all the time where people can't remember where they are, but they can remember a song that they had from their past. You know, Renee, can you tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a board certified music therapist and how this plays a role in your volunteering for Desert Aloha?
Music was always a part of my life. My dad would play the piano, my sister and I would sing. That was our entertainment. Always sang in choir, took piano lessons, took up guitar and as a teenager. And then later in life, I discovered the hammered dulcimer, which I absolutely fell in love with. And through that, I started seeing articles about the therapeutic value of music and thought maybe when I retire, this is something I could pursue. When that day happened, I started looking into music therapy more seriously. I was living in St. Louis, and there is a Maryville University there that has a degree program in music therapy. It is a 4-year college degree discipline. And so I auditioned for that and was approved and ended up finishing my degree within a couple of years. Through the training you get there, there's a lot of hands-on practicum work, and you get to work with different populations. Music therapists serve from neonatal through end of life. And through the practicums, I found I was drawn to the people with memory care issues. And it was just so wonderful to see them light up when they hear a familiar song. Sometimes people don't know their name, but you start singing a song and they know all the words. It's great.
Do you have a personal story you can share with us of someone who you worked with?
Just the other day, we were in the parking garage near the Poetry Center, and Angela said, I think I should buy some land and turn it into a parking lot and think how much money I would make. And one of our participants said, there's a song about that, Joni Mitchell's song. So we started singing that. So just these little wonderful things that happen every day.
I love that Joni Mitchell song. That's not an
Yeah.
easy song to sing either.
No.
So, Renee, what makes you so passionate about volunteering? How does it enrich your life?
After I came to know Angela and started doing music therapy with Adventure Bus, I realized what a wonderful program this is. And I mean, Angela's enthusiasm is contagious. It's really a blessing, an honor to be part of this. And everything is so positive, and it's just kind of overwhelming. Yes. To see everyone so happy. The joy, the laughter is wonderful. Like
happy adventures.
Right.
And I have to agree with you. There's nobody I've met in my recent years that is more enthusiastic than Angela. Even on our hike, she was extremely enthusiastic, and we took great fun pictures, and we're still all in touch with each other, those people who are on that hike. And I'm going to say that is because of Angela.
Oh, thank you. And you know, Renee leads great hikes too. So you might want to join us sometime, Aspen. She led a wonderful hike for four women, and it was wonderful.
I would love to. There is no doubt about it. At Desert Aloha, how do people sign up for your day trips? How do they find out about you?
Oftentimes, people learn about Desert Aloha through referrals. And most of the participants, they live at home with their spouses or children. A few of them have moved into assisted living or memory care communities. I have participants who have been enrolled. We set up an interview, a meeting, and I assess the participant to make sure that they're a good candidate to go on these outings. Can they walk? Do they have stability? Are they able to walk on unlevel ground if we go on nature walks?
There would be different trips that might fit different people.
That's right. And also, can they see and hear? They obviously need to be able to toilet themselves.
Do you, Angela, have any personal stories that you'd like to share with us on some of the interactions that you've had with people who are on your day trips?
One of the wonderful things that I've learned about my participants is everybody comes to the program for different reasons. Some people come because they love getting together in this small group. They look forward to seeing each other because they have gotten older and they've been diagnosed with dementia. They're not in touch with their old friends or families anymore. So coming together every week, sometimes once a week, sometimes twice a week, it gives them a chance to see now their new group of friends and their families. And they just love that. And it brings me so much joy to see everybody having a good time. I had a gentleman in the program once. He was really hesitant to come, but his wife really, really needed the respite. So I said, hey, why don't you come and spend the day with us and see how you like it? And at the end of the day, just let us know how you feel. And at the end of the day, when his wife came to pick him up, he said, you know, I'm really glad that you brought me here because they really need my help here. And he thought he was going to work, and it was fine. You know, you enter their world. It was okay. He loved to go to work. He loved to be there for other people. And he said, they really needed my help. And that's not far from the truth. We're all here to help each other in different ways. So that's one of the great stories that I have. And when we've done artwork, I'll get someone who says, I am not creative. I've been an attorney all my life. I'm not creative. But once we've got jazz playing and he's painting, and at the end of the day, when I hand him his artwork, he said, who did this? And I said, you did, Frank. And he said, this is beautiful.
Ah, that is so sweet.
We're always learning about ourselves. There's hidden talents within ourselves. And I just hope that the things that we do, the places that we go to and see, they may be something that evokes a memory, but it might be a new experience. And we're never too old to learn something new and see something new and experience something new.
It sounds like everybody benefits from this. You, the caregivers, the people who have dementia, Alzheimer's, what a win-win situation. Well, we're going to stop here now for a music break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the specifics of what happens on your day trips and some of the places you go, et cetera. Over to you, Kathy.
Yes, it is time for a music break, but I have to say, I'm really enjoying these stories. It makes my heart happy today. I'm so glad you ladies are here. So the song, Angela, that you chose for today is You Are My Sunshine. Speaking of making my heart happy, is there any particular reason why you chose this song?
Well, I'll tell you, every time I ever did the impromptu sing-along, we would sing You Are My Sunshine, and it would lift everyone's spirits up. And sometimes it would make someone cry because it reminded them of someone. But overall, the song is a very uplifting song, and everyone, I believe, has light in them. We are all sunshine for each other and reflecting off each other's light. And that's why I love this song.
It's a great song and everybody knows it. It's an American standard of old time and country music. Its original writer is disputed, so we're not sure who wrote it, so we won't say any more about that. But it was first recorded in 1939. And by the year 2000, the song had been recorded by over 350 artists and translated into 30 languages.
Oh.
In 1999, You Are My Sunshine was honored with a Grammy Hall of Fame Award. The particular version that you wanted to hear is sung by Elizabeth Mitchell. She was the first children's music artist signed to the Smithsonian Folkways in the 21st century. So let's listen to this song, You Are My Sunshine, this version by Elizabeth Mitchell from her album of the same name. 91.3 KXCI Tucson. You're listening to Broad Perspectives Radio, and we're now returning to our interview with Angela Salmon of Desert Aloha and Renee Poirier.
You know, that song brings back memories to me. I just realized my daughter got a stuffed animal and it sang the song, You Are My Sunshine. So we used to sing it all the time. I bet she'll remember that.
Yeah, I used to be part of a little group that did music in the schools for younger elementary school kids. And they all knew the words. They loved it when we sang that song.
It's so positive.
Yes, great choice.
Thank
All right.
You.
So what are some of the requirements for choosing places to visit? Do you need to like avoid crowds or noise, or do you have special things that you need to consider?
Yeah, we do try to avoid large crowds because even though it's a small group and between the volunteer and me, large groups can cause maybe a little anxiety in some of the participants, and we don't want to lose anybody. So if we are going to a place that has a large crowd, for example, like the Desert Museum, when we went to see the Raptor Free Flight, I mean, it's a huge crowd that comes out to see that. We just make sure that we keep our group together. We've got all eyes on everyone, and luckily our group is small. You know, when we go to the old Tucson studios for the stunt shows there, it's a big place. There can be a lot of people, but again, we just make sure someone's in the front, someone's in the back, and we're just watching everybody.
So has the Tucson community been easy to work with? And do you need to make advance contacts with some of the places that you bring them to?
Oh, yeah. All of our outings require me to call and schedule. I like to schedule tours for our group. It's very nice to have a docent or a volunteer lead our group because they give us insight, facilitate conversation and asking questions, and really get our group to think, like going to the Tucson Museum of Art, having a docent there, or having a nature interpreter come join us on a nature walk out at Sabino Canyon.
I've heard you mention volunteers a couple of times, so I'd like to talk about that. How many volunteers do you have? What are the requirements to be a volunteer? And are you looking for new volunteers?
I love volunteers. I couldn't run this program without volunteers. I'm so grateful to Renee. She's fun. The participants love her. She sings with them. I mean, there are times where we're driving from one place to another, and in the back seat, Renee's started a sing-along, or she's bonding and connecting with one of the participants as we're driving to and from our destinations. Currently, I have four volunteers, and my volunteers, like Renee, have been fingerprinted, background checked. All four of them have experience with seniors with dementias. Some of them because they have family members who have had dementia and they've cared for them. So I'm very appreciative for my volunteers. Am I looking for new volunteers? It would be great to have new volunteers. Hopefully they have experience and compassion, patience, care, and love for this population.
And how would they get a hold of you if one of our listeners decides, hey, that's something I'd like to do?
Yeah, well, you can reach me through my website, which is desertalohadaytrips.com.
Fantastic. What a great service this is. Do you have any tips for helping people with dementia at home?
Yeah, when I was caring for my grandmother 24/7, I started to realize and understand, have greater empathy and compassion for the caregivers who bring their participants to my program. It's one thing to go on an outing for 5 hours. It's another thing to care for someone 24/7. And I'm really blessed to have been able to do that with my grandmother and go through the stages, the early, the mid, the late, and then end of life stages. I did so many wonderful things with my grandmother. A lot of the things I do with the participants of Desert Aloha. When you're at home, allow them to participate in chores. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, no, don't worry about it. If you do the dishes, you don't do a very good job, so just let me do it. Let them participate as much as they can. Focus on all the things they still can do and allow them to do it. And if they don't do such a great job later on, quietly go back and maybe sweep the floor again or refold the laundry or redo the dishes. Getting outside, going for a walk, visiting family and friends, going to the park. My grandmother loved to feed the ducks. And being out there, we met other people. I mean, they love to get out there and meet other people. When you're inside the home, look through nature magazines, photo albums, do chair exercises, do arts and crafts, and you know what? Do video calls with family and friends. My grandmother loved doing video calls, whether we use my iPhone or an iPad, and also share memories. She loved to share memories, even if it's inaccurate, even if the names, the dates are all inaccurate. You just enter their world. And you listen to them, you don't correct them, you just be very patient and calm.
And I was thinking about that, how you have to not be corrective and not criticize. I'm assuming that caregivers themselves need some sort of support going through this so that they have somebody to talk to.
Yes, through the Pima Council on Aging and also TMC Senior and Alzheimer's Association, these places, they offer support groups. And I love the fact that caregivers can go there and sometimes come with their loved one and other times alone and get the support from other caregivers.
You know, I read this week in National Geographic that dementia-friendly tourism is on the rise. I decided that could be the next level of your business, and I wanted to volunteer to travel the world with you.
That'd be wonderful. It is a disheartening to know that. What I read was that dementia is doubling every 5 years for people over 65, and it's going to reach 14 million by 2060. So hopefully programs like mine will be available to this population. Day trips like this help slow cognitive decline, keeps mind and body stimulated. We're moving, we're standing, we're singing, we're building, creating, we're listening, we're sharing. So I really believe that versus being at home, being sedentary, passively watching a television set, you got to use these muscles.
Okay, yes, absolutely. So, what do you have coming up in the near future?
I'm planning the September and October outings. And with the fall season, we're doing a lot of outside events because during the summer, it's so hot. We're spending all our times indoors at museums and places like that. But some of the things we're looking forward to is going to Oktoberfest up in Ski Valley and looking and seeing this fall colors there. We're going to.
I'd like to go on that one.
Yeah. Great
Now,
time.
don't put me out of my job.
Oh, no, I'll just come and be your assistant, Renee.
Okay.
Last year, Renee and I and the participants, we got up and we did the chicken dance. It was so,
Why am I
yes.
not surprised?
That happens to be my specialty, so I'll be there too.
In chicken soup, perhaps.
That's possible.
Well, unfortunately, we say this every week. We're out of time. How did that happen so quickly?
It is true. I'm afraid that's all the time we have today, but
Thank you guys for
yeah.
coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thank
Angela
you.
Salmon and Renee Poirier, thank you so much for coming by to tell us about your program, Desert Aloha, and all the things you do for our community. You're the people who make Tucson such a great place to live. This is Kathy Harris with Aspen Green, and you've been listening to Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. You can hear more of our shows at kxci.org on our Broad Perspectives Radio page. But for right now, stay tuned, because next up, we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page. Enjoy your Sunday, and we'll see you next week.